You're rocking with the voice of Town View. We put our spin on trending topics and school news. Thought provoking, insightful, we speak the truth. We do it for all ages, not just for the youth. Listen close, you might learn something. Or laugh so hard, you split your side of something. Live stream a podcast, whenever you tune in, it's sure to be a blast. Let's be honest, you don't wanna miss that. Content so real, you gonna wanna run it back. We keep you entertained while making an impact. Want forum and announcements? Well, this is not that. Sports, pop, culture, political. Whatever you like, we got you covered, bro. It's a movement, more than just a show. It's KSB Elma Radio.
I'm closer to the music. Broadcasting live from Marvin E. Robinson School of Business and Management, Dallas, Texas.
My radio station.
We are KSBM Radio, the voice of Townview.
Hello and welcome everyone to KSBM Radio, the voice of Townview. I'm your host Dante, and today I'm joined with my lovely co-hosts,
Jelly,
Jasmine,
Art Lover.
And today we are so honored to be joined by our wonderful guest, Miss Cindy Pedraza, who owns a wonderful small business here in the Oak Cliff area of Dallas, where she serves some of the best sweets in town. Miss Pedraza, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show with us today. To start us off, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
No, thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
So to get us started, what was Dallas like for you growing up, and how would you say it's changed since then?
I think growing up for me, my experience was a little bit different. I did grow up in Irving, which was a little bit more segregated and not so diverse. And like the only friends that I had would come in from West Dallas and Oak Cliff. So for me, growing up was a little bit weird. But yeah, but I found my people.
Growing up with a passion for chocolate, what was it like being in tune with your culinary creativity early on in life?
So for me, I wasn't really in tune with my culinary creativity early on in life. I developed it later because we were forced to, like, we opened our business in 2009 during the recession, my mother and I. So that's when I discovered that I wanted to support her passion. And then once I started learning more about chocolate, it really became my passion as well once I discovered, like, our roots and all the ties that we have to chocolate. So that's how I discovered my passion in chocolate.
Mm-hmm. How did – well, sorry. What high school did you attend growing up, and what kind of impact did it have on you today?
I think for me, high school is always, I think, a very crazy and critical time, I think, in everybody's youth. So I went to Nimitz. And like I told y'all, it wasn't very, like, diverse. And then, but I always had a hard time in high school. So I always found, like, ways to get out of high school and come over here to Oak Cliff. So for me, I was a real rebel when I was, like, in my teen years. So that was it.
When did you first realize you, like, you wanted to pursue a career in making sweets?
So for me, it was in 2009 after the recession that we decided we wanted to make sweets, because my mom had been doing it already for about 25 years at that time. And the business that she was working with closed. And then I was working as a project manager for a company that was in Las Vegas. And then the recession happened and all that stopped. And that's when I realized that I wanted to support my mom's dream, because she had been doing it for such a long time. And I really wanted to see her, like, flourish and pursue her passion. But then after I discovered more about chocolate, it became my passion too. And I found my place, I feel like, in the world. And now I just want to grow it worldwide. So I'm excited about chocolate.
So who or what would you say helped spark your interest in sweets growing up?
So, of course, Willy Wonka, I Love Lucy were, like, the people that I imagined that my mother was being like when she would go to work. Because she started working when I was 8 years old. So I'm like, those were the only things that I would see around. I'm like, because she never took us to the chocolate company where she worked at. Not until, like, maybe we were 10 or 12. But so for me, it was always like Willy Wonka and I Love Lucy. And that's what my mom is doing right now. So that was who sparked the passion for chocolate for me.
How did your cultural roots and childhood influence your passion for the craft of chocolate making?
So for me, culturally, like for me, of course, being Mexican, as I got older and started learning more about our roots, I discovered that cacao grows in the equator. So in all around the lower parts of Mexico. So I think that once I started seeing that connection between cacao and, like, the chocolate making that my mom was making, because she studied in European style traditional chocolate making. So I always thought it was more of like a European thing. And then once I discovered that cacao grows in Mexico, it just connected everything. It felt like full circle for me. So I felt like this is something that, you know, our ancestors have been doing for thousands of years. Why are we not working in it? So I felt more empowered, I think, at that time.
Were there any difficulties you and your mother encountered as you went on to create your own business? How did you overcome them?
Oh, my gosh. I think when you're a woman and you're a small business and you don't come from money, I think there's always going to be challenges. But I think for me, it's the fact that I was working with my mom and opening this business with my mom that really kind of, like, helped me not spiral all the time, because I used to. But I, after a while, it's like a muscle. You start developing, like, you know, a stronger backbone, I say. And you discover that you're stronger than all the things that are thrown your way. So I think for me, that's really what has made me who I am today. And, like, if any kind of challenge comes up, I know if I face it on head on or procrastinate about it a little while, things will work out for some reason. So I just always, you know, just think about it and just try to use all my strength to, like, work through whatever problem I'm going through.
Do you find any inspiration anywhere in Dallas that helps you move you in your career?
I think for me, I don't know if I've said this, but I do love art. So art to me inspires me so much. So I think we're in Dallas and it does have a great art scene. It could be a little better, but it is because, you know, once you travel to other countries and you start seeing, like, their arts, and you're like, oh my God, like, I want to do that, because it's, like, in the streets, it's everywhere. But I do take a lot of inspiration from artists, from art, from local brands, from the people that I'm surrounded by. I always find myself that I'm surrounded by people that are creatives. So I think that really does help me also to find my creative side.
So what kind of impact would you like to have on the people who visit and support your business?
Oh, for me, I just want people, when they come into, like, our business, I want them to feel like they're welcomed, like they belong here. Like, I like building these lifelong connections. Like, I've known your family for a few years now, and, like, I've had people that literally have gotten engaged, you know, married, had kids, like, and as being a professional chocolatier, like, we've met people over now 15 years now. So I've seen their kids go to college. I've seen them, you know, lose loved ones. So for me, I think even though they come in through our store for a little while or for something sweet, like, I don't think those people realize that they're also making an impact on us. Like, all of a sudden, out of the blue, I'll just, like, message one of our customers through DM, did you have your baby? Like, you know, like, so, like, to me, it's, like, I just as much as an impact that I want to make on them positive, as, like, a positive experience and somebody that they look up to and admire, I also admire them and look up to them because they're making us a part of their day. So I'm, like, you don't have to. You don't have to make that choice, but you do. And I'm, like, thank you, and I'm grateful for that. So I just always want to have a positive impact with the people that I meet.
What does a day in the life of chocolate making look like for you?
For me, so right now, I'm still more of the admin. I am learning more about chocolate. Like, I do know the basics, so I can get around the kitchen if I have to, but fortunately, I haven't had to yet. My mom is still the head chocolatier. So for me, I do a lot of the administrative, the social media, the marketing. When you're a small business owner, you wear a lot of hats. So I'm also the person that sends out. I'm the invoices, collects the money. But right now, my focus is to actually get my mom out of the kitchen, and then I'll step into her role. And then so there'll be, like, a removal of her, and then slowly I'll step in. So chocolate making in a day for us, I think for her, for my mom, is they wake up, they turn on all the machines, we work as a group. So if the group is not there, like yesterday, our group took a little vacation, and it just felt very like we weren't doing anything. It just felt very stagnant if we're not working as a group. So chocolate making is a group effort.
How do you source your ingredients and what do you consider when making chocolates?
So for us, like I told you, going back to our roots, once we discovered that chocolate was made or cacao grew in Mexico, we started going to Chiapas. We found a group through Facebook. My mom found a group in Chiapas that was bringing in cacao and exporting. It's called La Academia de Chocolate. And we went to visit them and they taught us about bean to bar. And that's where we started sourcing our cacao from. So it's from Chiapas in the Soconusco region. And for me, again, that was when I had the moment this is really our thing. Chocolate is our thing. Like for culturally, it is our thing. When I started walking through the jungle and could like see the trees and they tell you like these trees have been around for thousands of years from prehistoric times or Mesoamerican times. So it just was really like a big, like, I don't know, awakening moment. And then I saw, it was like magical because I saw the cacao trees and then I saw this big, beautiful butterfly that I've never seen that was like the size of my hand fly by. And I'm like, oh my God, I belong here. So for me, it was just that connection of like culturally in our roots, chocolate is part of our DNA. And then when you go to a museum in Mexico, there's paintings on the wall of, of people and cacao and the cows on the walls. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's part of our heritage. So that was my moment when I was like, I'm in the right spot where I need to be.
How do you find inspiration in the environment around you to innovate, like, the different types of chocolates you create?
So for me, to innovate, I think you always just have to be a little bit ahead from everybody else. And I'm fortunate that my mom, which is my business partner and chef, she's a big reader. I am not. I'm not the biggest reader. But I aspire to be. I'm trying to do 10 pages a day. But she always, like, takes inspiration from different just from things that she reads, that she sees, that she wants to recreate. So for us, our inspiration just comes from things around us that we see. Like I've told y'all before, I love art. So for me, it's art. It's the brands that I work with, the people that I see around me. Of course, I think everybody's bombarded by social media. So I do take some inspiration of like what the trends are as well. So we take inspiration from everywhere, honestly.
So how do you manage and balance your time with your family and work life?
Oh, my gosh. That's been the hardest part, I think, as a small business. Naively, when we started this business 15 years ago, I thought it was going to give me an opportunity to spend more time with my son because I also have a son that's 26, and I had him very young. Please do not do that. But I had him very young, and I was like, well, this is going to help me, to spend more time with him and do more. And honestly, when you become a small business owner, it really just takes a small business takes up your whole time. Even like I'm like there's days where I'm like dreaming about work or I can't sleep because I'm thinking about work. So it's really hard to find that balance. I think this year, now that I have my daughter that's 10, she's very vocal. So I'm trying to be better. So she's like, hey, get off your phone. I'm like, okay. So I'll put it away. So I'm trying to be more better about my time and like spending more time with my family. Even like we took a vacation like 2 weeks ago, and my focus was really not to like hang out on my phone or like let photos and trying to build content take up my time. So I am trying to prioritize more family, but it's taken 15 years for that to happen. So it's hard.
What role would you say the community of Oak Cliff plays in your business?
Oh, my God. I think the Oak Cliff community, to me, is everything. Like I told y'all, since I grew up in Irving, as soon as I could drive and I was a teenager, I started driving actually at 14. And, like, I would don't do that also. but I started driving, and I felt so alone in Irving. And then once I found, like, my people here in Oak Cliff and, like, West Dallas, I started driving over here, and I wasn't even like a bad kid. I just wanted to hang out and be immersed in the culture and the community because I just felt so at peace and at home here in Oak Cliff. So now we're fortunate that we all live here now. But and I think things would have been way different if we would have like immediately like lived here as teenagers. But I mean, Oak Cliff is everything to me. It's my heart. It's what I dream of. I want like the people that I know to be proud of me. Because I feel like I'm doing something different that hasn't been done before. So I just want people to be proud of like what we're doing and that we're, you know, hopefully inspiring other people as well to create as well.
What challenges are you currently facing in your career and how are you overcoming these challenges?
So let's see, I think there's always going to be challenges. And currently, like right now we moved, so we sold our house that we were at for a very long time. That we were there for 15 years in the Bishop Arts area. So for now, we're at my other business that I had started and kind of neglected at Olmo Market. But so for me, my challenge right now is visibility. So I'm working very hard to create content that engages. So, and we're in the social media world, as y'all know. So I'm like, so the content has to be, and I come from a very old school, you know, growing up, you know, we grew up with the news and no internet. So I'm like, so now it's like retraining your brain. Like everything you do has to be quick and fast and grab people's attention. So I think that's what my effort this year is, to focus more on my social media and growing that and kind of retraining my brain to be better at it.
What vision do you have for the future of Coco Andre?
Oh, for me, I want Coco Andre to go worldwide. That was the reason why we sold the house that we were in Bishop Arts, so we could buy a bigger building and buy manufacturing equipment and just become an actual factory so we can reduce costs and produce more. So for me, the goal, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I know that that's where I want, and I want to see our company grow as to be a national brand or worldwide brand. So that's my goal, is to see Coco Andre become a worldwide brand.
So how do you want your business to influence the future generation of chocolatiers?
I really want, like, when we started 15 years ago, it felt very solitary. There wasn't that many Latinas in chocolate. There wasn't there wasn't any chocolatiers, to be honest, other than, like, my mom. She would Google herself, and she's like, or she would Google herself. That sounds kind of like, she would Google, like, Latinas in chocolate or Mexican chocolatiers, and she was the only one that would come up. And then finally, we started seeing, like, I think maybe, like, 7 years ago is when I started seeing, like, a shift. I started seeing, like, more bean to bar makers that were Latinas. I started seeing more, you know, local chocolatiers come out. Like, there's a friend of mine called Are You Chocolate. And then it was just, like, this shift. And I was like, did we kind of influence this? So it just kind of, like, it was an awakening moment again, like, man, like, we've been here 15 years and we planted this little seed, and here are other people like seeing what we're doing and like trying to do it themselves as well, and it's becoming something, you know, like we're creating a whole field where people didn't see themselves in before. So it's been really cool to see that change.
How do you plan on ensuring the growth of your business, Coco Andre?
How do I plan? I don't know. No, I think for me, I really do heavily rely on the people that support us. I think that's always been the proven, just the proven fact that when people like you, they will talk about you and they will support you no matter what. And they will, you know, they will just speak highly of you. So for me, coming again from this transitional world where social media wasn't like a big thing, because it didn't start really until like 2011, and we started our business in 2009. Word of mouth was always what people would tell me. I was like, oh, so-and-so told me, or my cousin told me to come to your store, or, you know. So for me, I think that's my plan, is always to be nice to people, and I know that good things will come. And that people will support us as long as we're genuine and true to who we are, and we speak, you know, our truth and not be disingenuous. So I feel like that's how we'll grow. We'll continue mm-hmm. to grow.
Where do you see your business going in the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years, again, I want to build out our new building, which we've already purchased. And it's going to be really close to our old location. It'll be on Center Street here in Oak Cliff. And so the goal right now is to build that out. And I don't know where it's going, but I feel like it's going to become a hub for other small businesses. So I think I'll have my factory on the bottom and chocolate store, and then the top would be retail to give other small business owners an opportunity. So I want to become more like an incubator. Like if you wanted to have a small business for, you want to try it out and you're scared, well, I'm like, well, here's a lease for 3 months or 6 months. So that way you don't feel obligated. And that way, even if I can mentor those people, that would be also my goal. Because I know it's hard and for people when going into small business, and I didn't have a lot of mentors doing this. So I want to be also that opportunity to other people.
Can you tell us more about what type of impact you would want for your to see in your business in Oak Cliff?
Let's see, the impact that I want to see for my business in Oak Cliff. Mm-hmm. Let's see. For the impact, I really just want to continue to grow and nurture the events that we're doing. I feel like we've always created events that were inclusive that were never really thought of. So for me, of course, not just me, because for me, Coco Andrea isn't just a chocolate shop. It's about community and building community. So not only, yes, like people come and consume our product, but we also want to give back. So for me, growing like our events like Dia de los Muertos, our Orgullo event, which I'm surprised Oak Cliff never had like a Pride event. And then we created Orgullo and it's taken off. So it's, for me, it's always giving back and finding events and things like that that give back to the community and are inclusive and diverse. So for me, that's where I see my impact is giving back to the community and doing more and as much as I can for them.
Mm-hmm. Planning these kinds of events, like, well, how did it affect, like, your impact on the community itself?
For me, I feel like, a good example was, like, during the pandemic. So we've had Dia de los Muertos for like over 10 years now. And during the pandemic, we're like, oh, we're not going to do it, right? Everybody, you know, everybody's scared, whatnot. And then I realized the impact I had on the community during that event because I posted like, hey, we're not going to have it this year. And then all of a sudden you hear this like this flood of DMs and like, why? Or why can't you do it? And then finally we were able to get a grant from the city. And we worked with somebody locally, and we turned it into an art show. And it was really cool. So it was on a smaller scale, but it turned into an art show, and we had installations. And it was just really cool because there was a person that actually cried because they were like, I haven't really gone anywhere. I haven't really, you know, been out in the world, had interaction for such a long time with people. So it was, you saw that they were also craving this need for people and space and to feel comfortable in, and we created that. So for me, to me, that was everything. It was like seeing that my little Day of the Dead event that I thought was nothing really meant something to somebody, and to actually have somebody be moved to tears. Like I craved this. I craved, you know, unity, and I craved interacting with other people, and thank you for doing it. That was like, I think the whole night I kept hearing people like, thank you for doing this, and thank you for like not canceling it. So that's really when I realized that we do create safe spaces and inclusivity in our neighborhood. And that really touched me. And like every year I'm like, we're not going to do it. Or like, no, I want to go other places and see like they're the Dia de los Muertos in Mexico. And it just hasn't happened, and I'm okay with it because I see what we're doing here is bigger than me. I think it's something for that everybody feels a part of and looks forward to.
So moving on to some fun questions, if someone were to make a movie about you and your business, who would you want to play?
Oh, I know who it is. It's Selma Hayek. I don't know why, but I identify as a Selma Hayek. So, I mean, she's gorgeous, but I really feel like she would be the person because she just seems like a very strong force to be reckoned with. So I feel like that would be my person that would want to play me. Yeah.
If you could use any ingredients from anywhere in the world to make a new type of dessert, what would it be?
For me right now, I think it would be Japan. I think they have really different, unique ingredients that are not accessible to here. So I would really love, and they're also, because they also don't get chocolate as much, they're not big on chocolate over there. I would really love to incorporate like their ingredients in our chocolate together. And I think that would be my dream country and place to work with.
If you could describe your business as a show or movie, what would it be?
As a movie, it definitely is the I Love Lucy, where she's like losing it, and there's like the episode where she's eating the chocolates off the little conveyor belt. I'm like, that's what it feels like almost every day for me. It's like a little bit of chaos, but it's also fun, and that's what I think we would be. Yeah, an I Love Lucy episode.
What are some of the traditional Mexican flavors that you incorporate into your chocolate?
So for us, like I've told you, like once we find a niche, because for a long time we were like, not for a long time, really quickly, I think within 2 years we're like, okay, we're trying to cater to this group that isn't us. And then when we started like discovering, like not discovering, but we started tapping in more into our roots, that's when we created a whole line of chocolates that included like mezcal, tequila. We even had a corn-flavored one with a little bit of tajin that was a white chocolate truffle. We've had dulce de leche, café con leche. So for us, it was really like, oh, like this is where again, it's where we should be, and like we should be showing off more of our roots and like our ingredients. So for me, that's the fun part of creating with chocolate, is that we get to put in our flavors that you wouldn't traditionally see in a another chocolatier if they weren't Mexican, you know?
Okay. Well, that wraps up our show for today with Ms. Pedraza. Ms. Pedraza, it has been such a pleasure to have you on this show, and thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Be sure to follow us on all our social medias below, and please don't forget to show your support to Ms. Pedraza by visiting Coco Andre. They have some of the absolutely best chocolate and horchata here in Dallas. Yeah. Until next time, I'm Jelly.
I'm Dante.
I'm Jasmine.
I'm Art Lover.
And we'll see y'all next time. Goodbye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to KSBM Radio, the voice of Townview.
My radio station.
We hope you enjoyed the great content and great discussion, all from a student's perspective. Make sure to follow us on Twitter for the latest updates at KSBM_TVT or on Facebook at KSBM Radio.
Add them on Facebook.
Check them on Facebook.
Take care.